Welcome to Fun Town, everybody. It's been an entire week, but we are back. The four of us are once again back together on the same screen, talking to each other through headphones and microphones via the internet. It's amazing. If you would have told me 20 years ago that this is what my life would be like, I would have been like, you're fucking crazy. You're crazy, but it's happening. And this is how crazy things are right now. If I can take a moment to tell you guys what's going to happen in my life tomorrow. So first of all right, let's go. If this is I'm terrible at this. If this is the first time you've listened to Fun Town, I'm Todd McComas. I am joined by my good friends, comedians, Austin Real. Austin.
Hello.
Good to see you again, brother. Jeff Oskay. You too. And if you can't see him, he's got double thumbs at himself. And my good friend Jessica Alsman, Lady of Radio.
There.
Hey. We're all here together.
And we did it.
And we haven't talked for a week. We almost talked yesterday because I had the wrong day of the week and thought that it was recording.
Yeah, you came
there.
In hot with big let's do this on Monday attitude.
Yeah, you guys were like, what the fuck is he doing? And I'm like, sorry, thought it was Tuesday. That's how my life usually is. But I feel a lot better. I was starting to get quarantine-itis. Tomorrow for my podcast 1041 with Todd McComas, I'm doing the first interview of that show. So usually it's just crime stories, right? First season, unsolved crime. Second season is just crimes that have been solved that are out there on the internet, can be researched. And then tomorrow for Thursday's episode, I'm interviewing John Veazey. Former hitman of the Philadelphia Mafia. Yes.
Where?
In bedroom number four, this studio that I'm in right now. He's coming live in person. He's sitting with me and having a conversation.
Oh, wow.
Hitman, what are you doing?
I know. It's awesome. I'm going to be sitting real close to a guy who used to kill people for a living. That's a crazier job than we have.
Are you going to place a piece somewhere?
I should strategically have like it duct taped underneath, like, you know, like you see in the movies, so I can just reach under and pull
John
the trigger.
McClane it. John McClane it to your back.
Yeah. But go ahead.
How old is this guy now?
I don't know. I think he was roughly 30 in 1993. So somebody do the math for me, because it's my weakness. One of my weaknesses is adding things, subtracting things.
I don't know. He's like 60,
probably
maybe.
About 57.
I don't know.
Probably pushing 60, somewhere around there. And he ended up having to testify against the mob because they had put a contract out on him. And not just like sometimes you hear guys say that, like, oh, yeah, you know, I got through the grapevine. They had a contract on me or whatever. They walked him into a room for a meeting. Joe Pesci from Goodfellas style looks down, sees plastic. Bye bye, John. Last thing he heard, bam, 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 three gunshots to the head. And then he doesn't go down. And the guys look like, ooh, what's happening? He fights. And in the struggle, gets shot in the chest, still manages to fight his way out of that house and survive the attack.
What?
Oh gosh.
So then he thought, yeah, better take the feds up on that offer. I'll go ahead and testify.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, what a story, right?
This guy got shot three times in the head and once in the chest.
Yeah, and lived.
And still swung out against a bunch of hitmen.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. I feel
just
like
Todd, just do me a favor, just do the interview in your driveway. Just for me. Just please do it in your driveway. This is horrifying.
I mean, sorry, Jess, but like I'll have a boner the rest of the night. I'd like this is the most cool thing. Like I've talked to cool people before, we all have, but that like this is right there, right in my face. It's not over live stream or anything. He's going to be within 6 feet of me because I'm going to be quarantine safe.
Is it safe for him to go on and talk with you about it?
I guess? Yeah, he does it. He talks at colleges, you know, because he tries to get people to, you know, to teach young people.
Mom.
Yeah. Like, hey, this is a bad profession if that's what you're thinking about going into. And it's a cool, cool thing. I think it's gonna be awesome. And I talked to him on the phone, and you can tell like he's good at telling stories, which I think most Italian former mafia members are good storytellers by nature. But yeah, it's gonna be cool. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's geez, awesome. We're gonna be disappointing tonight. Sorry, it's just
no, never disappointing. But I'm looking forward to hearing those stories. So, and I was, it's cool too, because I got that booked about an hour ago and I hadn't picked a crime story yet. So it was going to be an all nighter of Todd researching murders on the internet and coming up with one.
No.
Yeah. So that was just in the nick of time. This hitman saved me.
Aww.
How many people can say that?
Not many.
So,
not a lot, Todd.
He and I have a friend in common, actually. So, my friend was like, "Did I ever tell you that I know this guy?" And I was like, "Pretty sure I'd remember that." No, not at all. Will that guy come on my podcast? And she was like, "Oh, I'll check." And she made it happen.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's cool. So, when I got to looking, you know, I'm doing research. I got to do a bunch more before I talk to him, but. When I was doing it, you know, after he testified, he had to do his prison sentence, and then he was immediately put into the witness protection program. So it got me thinking, I don't know yet what that meant for him or even how it really works, other than what I've seen in the movies. But I got to thinking, if it is like the movies, like what if you guys had to testify against someone like that and get put in witness protection?
I'm no fucking rat, man. No fucking rat. Oh, fuck that shit.
Jeff.
I would no, Jeff, roll.
You have a very pragmatic thing. You'd roll in about 5 minutes. You'd start doing the math on that.
Five? It would, like, yeah, fucking, I'll give him up. I don't give a shit.
It wouldn't take you. Yeah, it wouldn't take you shooting me three times in the head. Pretty much it would just probably take the feds coming up to me saying, "You're going to go to prison forever if you don't." Okay, well, let's sit down, have a conversation.
Yeah.
You need to tape shit to my body? Where's your recorders? Yeah.
I've found that staying away from criminals limits my need to testify in court.
It does, right? And now if you had to, and you, let's say
I witness a murder accidentally.
Yeah.
Like I'm driving by, they see me witness it. They know who I am, or, you know, they get my plate. And so it's either me or them, and they're coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save my family.
Sure. Now let's say they set you down and they break out like a menu. Let's say they're kind of the kayak of witness protection. Now you're in that kind of situation and they're like, "Hey Jeff. All right. First of all, where would you like to live in the world? Like probably you got to stay in the States so they can manage you, I would guess. So anywhere in the United States right now, I want each of you to answer this. If you could pick some place to go, you have to leave Indianapolis, go somewhere else to assume a new identity. What city in the country are you picking? Or area? Austin.
Oh, man. I'm going to go just to nowhere exotic. Because if I pick any Midwestern city, I can blend in. Perfect.
Because of your luck.
Yeah, and I got to stay in my temperate climate too, because I sweat. So that's the first sign of a rat. Is just
so you're not going to Louisiana, East Louisiana. Anywhere.
No, I mean how far do I have to go?
I don't.
I'll risk assume. It. Just go a county over.
Well, you would
just that. Yeah, boy, just pop over there.
You are going to get murdered so fast. You're going to get murdered so fast.
Fine,
a spot at a Target or a Walmart.
I'd get a year in.
One county away. Yeah. And by the way, my name's now Boston Real. You'll never
Boston
find
Reed,
me.
Everybody. No, I'd probably just go to Chicago or something.
That, yeah, I think anybody can blend
the
there.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then where would you go, Jess?
Maybe Atlanta, Georgia. There's a lot of people there. If I'm going to give up Indy and Indiana, give up the snow in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Atlanta's a cool place, too.
But nowhere, not south, more south than that, because it's already stinking humid in the summer. Like Florida, no way. It's a swamp.
Yeah.
God bless you, Florida, but whatever.
How about you, Oscar?
Yeah, man. I probably like Colorado, like out in the middle of nowhere, you know, kind of thing.
That's but what I'm thinking.
I would want like the whole fucking treatment. Like I want some facial reconstruction. I want like a new hairstyle. I want like a whole new ID. I want to go with something like Craig Jones. I want like just a basic ass name that no one's going to question shit. Like I, and for the whole family, like I'm going to rename all three of my kids to names I actually like.
I got to know what crime it is Jeff's committed to get this level of.
Yeah.
No, I witnessed something.
He witnessed cartel shit. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the president killing somebody with a cartel leader and laughing about it type thing. Like something real.
The biggest crime ever committed.
Yeah. I figure with my luck, they'll stick me in like fucking, you know, like Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, here you go. Oh, perfect.
Too hot. Too hot. I believe Jeff, like, it's probably smarter to go to a giant city where you're a little more anonymous, but I think I would take my chances and just try to look for places maybe they would never look. So I would finally go to that little small town out in Wyoming or something.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I'll be a ranch hand or maybe I'll sell insurance or something. I don't know.
What do you want your name to be?
I think, boy, I've always liked the name Nick. I just think it's a strong name. It's you know, it rolls. It's got the hard K. It sounds good. So maybe like, and I probably should stay Irish because maybe Nick Houlihan.
Oh, that's maybe. Nice.
Yeah.
Nick Hooley.
Oh, yeah. From the Houlihan family. Yeah. We loved your restaurants back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Your ciabatta bread sandwiches that were always a bit too crunchy to really make your way through.
Your sharp sandwiches and your plethora of appetizers. Nobody does apps like the Houlihan family, everybody. That was their menu was like all appetizers, wasn't it? Pretty much.
That was like handed down from your great grandmother, right? The ability to make such great appetizers. Right.
Yeah. So Jess, is there a woman's name that you've always like, would you combine like your favorite famous people?
I'd want to be Scarlett, even though it probably stands out. But I love, see, if I'm going to Atlanta, I better be named Scarlett and I'll pretend I'm Scarlett O'Hara. And they'll be like, this freaking Yankee shows up and thinks she's a Southern Belle.
Yeah,
I'll go with that. And maybe I could do Scarlett O'Hara. They'll be like, now you're just obviously making up a name. This girl must be in a witness protection.
Would you change your hair color or your hairstyle?
Oh, yeah. Would you go? Would you cut bangs? Yeah.
I've had bangs.
Oh, really?
You have them?
I've had bangs, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said you had bangs. I was like, where'd
they go? I could bend them. I try to do red hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That'll work out pretty well on me. Blonde is just too, ugh.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with my, yeah.
I think I would make them get me like a movie hair person, like Brad Pitt did when he played Achilles in that movie.
I'm not a deep diver when it comes to
Troy in the movie Troy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like 12 Monkeys.
Like he had the braid in his hair and shit, you know, because, you know, the Hollywood people weave that shit in there. Or maybe like Nick Cage from Con Air kind of, you know, and I'll be like, give me some real, like, I want a big mane, you know what I mean? And maybe
those are two drastically different hairstyles. They're both long.
I want a blast of the Brad Mohican Pitt's beautiful style.
Yeah. I'll be like, Brad, I don't ever want to mess with it. I don't want to ever have to color it or just put it on there. It's on once a year. I'll come back. Your person can redo it. And I'll just go someplace where I can just walk around and cut off camouflage shorts and flip flops. Then I'm happy.
Wait, so you're going back undercover is what you're doing.
Yeah. Was your undercover name Nick?
It was TJ. Remember? Like TJ. Yeah,
TJ.
With no explanation, just initials. Yeah. Not short for anything.
That's my favorite. Ask Todd what TJ stands for.
Like, not one tweaker asked for more specific information.
No, because they just they're so either burnout that they're stupid as this table, or they're smart, a little bit smarter, and they don't want to know anything about you because they don't want to spend any time talking to you because they don't want you knowing anything about them. So it's like, you know what I mean, this real quick in and out situation. I can't even tell you how many times I had to say my name to somebody. Usually I was just introduced by somebody else and they're just like, hey, what's up, man? And that's it. And then you're in and out. But, you know, I didn't have to like do real undercover where I'm going to be Donnie Brasco for the next 3 years of my life. Unfortunately, how would you handle that? Like if you had to, I mean, I don't know if I could do that.
Dude, I couldn't do just what you did and pretend, like, make my way through a fake drug deal once. Like, yeah. I would be shaking so uncontrollably and wetting myself a bit. And it would not be, I couldn't pull it off.
That could be
a million years.
That could be your part of your persona. They'd be like, hey, what's your friend's name? The one that's incontinent? Keeps peeing himself? That would play. They would never think you're a cop.
This old pissy pants coming by to pick up an 8-ball.
You have a teardrop tattoo and they're like, but it's yellow. Like, they're like, no, I didn't kill anybody. I just pee a lot. So I don't know. I'm like, cool. I don't know if I could handle, you know, it's so weird because your whole life is kind of based on where you're brought up. Like that's part of you that you can't control, right? Wherever your mom's vagina is, when you come out of it, has a lot to do with how you end up as an adult. And so like for this guy, he just, you know, grew up in the hood of Philadelphia. And that's just what he and his friends did. That's just what you did. You became an adult, you committed crime. And if you were lucky enough, you got made, which he did. And you were actually in the mafia, but like you grew up in Carmel, you and I grew up, Jeff, like right next to each other, pretty much. So just the fact that we stay gainfully employed and that we're not on disability means we overcame our childhood environment.
Yeah.
And then Jess, you grew up not far from me in little bitty Rush County, Indiana. So you, by all means, should have at least 9 kids by now.
Or a meth lab.
But yeah, and or a meth both. Lab. Yeah, both. So
it's true.
Yeah. So we kind of overcame it. Austin, I feel like you became exactly what you were supposed to. You're running the family business.
I'm a failure by family standards. Don't worry. Nosedive. It's fine. But I'm happy for you three.
Yeah.
I'm happy to meet you here at your success on my way down. I appreciate your companions.
No, I mean,
us hillbillies.
I grew up out in hillbilly land, but like my parents sent me, you know, I went to 12 years of Catholic school and like I went to church every Sunday, like didn't miss a church. Mm-hmm. You know, I was super involved in church and boy, like I was given every opportunity to be successful and I just ran all of them straight into the ground. Like, I haven't overcame shit. I'm right where I'm supposed to be with the decisions I've made in my life.
My case, my dad moved us like halfway through my 7th grade year, moved us away from where the rest of the family was pretty much. And I think that made a big difference because like,
was that good?
Yeah, that was good in the long run because in my early adulthood, you know, I was starting a family. I had a real profession with benefits and all that. And they were in prison. So I was like, oh, yeah, that was probably a pretty good move. It was when I first became a trooper, the area I was put at, there was a town in Decatur County, Indiana, that 75% of the people that live there are family of ours. It's a small town. I mean, very small. And
75%?
Yeah. In one way or another, related or like really, you know, might as well be related because you know, everybody grew up together. So whenever a crime was committed or there was a call for service to Milford, Indiana, the sheriff's department would call the state police post and be like, we just send McComas over there because he's going to be related to whoever's causing the problem. So I eventually had to put in a transfer to get the fuck out of there because I just became the one cop, town cop that I always wanted to be in my brain until I had to be that. And that was the town that I was related to everybody. So I was just the Milford babysitter for the Decatur County Sheriff's Department.
Was that out in?
Did everyone look like you? Was it just you and like wigs and various costumes talking to yourself?
It was so like one time, and then I got out of that area, became a detective, came back toward Indianapolis. I was working in Indianapolis, and then I worked undercover, and it still couldn't escape it. Like one time, the ATF called me, and they're like, "Hey, you want to go to lunch?" And I'm like, "Yeah, cool." So I meet up with my two buddies that work for ATF, and they're like, "Listen, your cousins are burglarizing the shit out of houses and stealing guns and then selling them. And it's like at a problem level." And I was like, "Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm not wearing a wire." What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You're like, what are you, just because I'm related, you should go in there and do something about it. If I say something, they're going to be like, "Shut up, Todd."
I know. Like, and I'm like, "You want me to rat out?" Like, first of all, it's not like I'm hanging out with those cousins. They're out burglarizing all the time. So I'm like, here's all I can tell you is from what I know about it, go find their dad, because it's a little bit like God damn it, my brain. The Kingdom, the family, the crime family show. Oh, shit.
Sopranos?
Yeah, the mom is the mom Barker kind of, and all her sons are in her little gang. It's kind of like that. Animal Kingdom, yes. So I'm like, if you find the dad, like these boys, I know both of them. They're not devising any heists. Let's put it that way. Go find their dad.
Yeah,
it's all going to him. So that's all I could do.
Now, but is this on the cousins. McComas side or on the Houlihan side?
This is on the Houlihan or Flannery side. And then another time, I'm at the undercover office, and I'm you know, ran something on the printer. So I go to the printer to get my thing, and there's stuff someone printed on top of it. So I lift that up and just quickly glance at it before I set it down to see whose it is. Maybe I'll take it to their office. Boom. One of my coworkers buying meth undercover from my aunt.
Aww. So,
Tina McComas.
So I'm like, wow, look at that. Todd, we got
Tim and Tom down here. If you could come get this straightened out for us.
Oh, man.
Yep. What a life. Do you guys know who Mary Santor is?
No. Comedian?
Yeah.
So she's you. Was for a good while the regular opener for Dan Cummins the last year or two. That's where I got to know her a little bit from.
Yeah.
But she, she's so funny, by the way. I just watched her on a Zoom comedy show. And I was telling you before the show, she has that perfect technique, let everybody laugh so it doesn't cut out her voice. She's great at this. She's mastered it. But she's so funny. And then she did this impression of Ruth from Ozark. Do you guys watch Ozark? Oh, yes.
Shut the fuck up, three. Three, shut the fuck up. That's my impression. That's
pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I've ever laughed that hard in my life, and it was over a Zoom show. She had it. I mean, you can't tell the difference between her and Ruth. And it fit in her act perfectly because, like you and I, Jeff, we came up with a lot of, you know, just in that environment, you know, like with those kind of people. And she was spot on with it. It was so good. Yeah. If she has clips of that, everybody should look up, try to find YouTube clips of her or look on her social media. I'm sure she does little impressions because she's too good at it to not. But
so have you done a Zoom comedy show yet?
I have not done stand up on a Zoom comedy show. Have you guys at all? Well, yeah, yeah, Austin did. Yeah.
And?
Yeah, I did the one that Bowers and Hofstetter are doing.
Yeah, Chris Bowers and Steve Hofstetter run the...
And Ben Glebe.
I always fuck up the name of it, but...
There's another woman on there, Rachel something. I can't feel bad.
Yeah, it's okay. But you did stand up on there. And then theirs, they have certain members of the audience with their mics turned on so you can hear them laugh.
Yeah.
Did that help at all for you?
It did. I mean, I didn't, I think I went third, so people did it and the crowd, I think, saw what it was going to be. So they got into it, you know, by that point, but it's kind of weird for a minute and then you just kind of catch your rhythm. It does help. You can hear them laughing. I don't know how hard it would be just to like, cause I've seen a couple where they're just shuffling around to different feeds. Mm-hmm. You can't hear anything.
Well, so I
you
did
have to do your bit.
I've not had to do it on Zoom yet, but I did this, Jeff, where like I started the new thing on 1041, where after the serious telling of this serious crime story, or these murders or whatever, at the end, I have a bonus segment where I make myself write 5 minutes of stand up on that story that I just told. And I did it on here on StreamYard, and I had some people from my Patreon and then a couple just friends on there. So I had 4 different inputs in here, but 6 people as an audience. And I could hear them laugh. And it was fun. But that was real intimate. And on here, you know, you have the ability to control it way more than it's just, hey, there's 150 people out there. And gets a little crazy. And we've all seen the ones where there's no audience laughing.
Oh, I cannot imagine doing stand-up without laughter. You have no feedback. You don't know if it's working. I had to do a sales webinar. Ugh, look, I give sales webinars, whatever, but it's not professional. When I say that, I don't think it's like really buttoned up. It's so awkward. And I leave my webcam on purpose because no participant had their webcam on today. And I'm like, what the F?
Oh, that's
like, let me have the visual. I know you're not paying attention. They're all muted. You can't see their camera. And I'm just like, but I leave mine on so they can see the awkwardness because I'm just a spazoid. And I just can't imagine. And then I'm like, hey, any questions? Is anyone listening?
Yeah.
Cool.
What a dickhead move to not put their camera on.
And then finally someone will chime in because I'm like, I'll wait. I'll make someone come back to their computer. You have to get back to your computer and say, no, we don't have any questions.
Right. anyway, a bullshit move.
I was like, oh, wait, the whole freaking time. So again, doing stand up on one of these, I can't imagine without having laughter to know, or at least seeing someone like.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to ask me to do to stream live stand up to perform in that fashion with no laughter, there's nobody with their mic on so I can hear anything. I would akin that to like, hey, just put the camera on me so everybody can watch me cut myself. I'll just start cutting myself on my arm. You know, because that's about as fun as that's going
to
be.
It's like my mom used to laugh at my jokes until she died. That's how it feels.
Now, if the money's right, though, we'll do it.
Sure. Oh,
yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, so for sure.
It's not a hard no.
I did. You know, I'm doing these. I'm in this roast competition with Ryan Miller for Helium. And the first one, good time. Good time. All my jokes hit. We fucking won. We destroyed the other team. Blah, blah, blah. Second round. You know, sometimes you come in a little too cocky after a really good set.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. I think I'm way better than everybody else on here. And you come in just a little too cocky. Thought my jokes were awesome. Nothing. I got Mark Norman, who's a much more famous comedian than I am, who's hosting it with Joe List, another comedian who's more famous than I am, obviously, looks at me after my closer and goes, well, it was a good setup. And I was like, oh, Jesus, Mark Norman just trashed my joke.
Oh, dang.
Man. Who were you against?
2 comedians representing the city of Dallas.
Oh, no, the Dallas material.
Yeah. Yes. Remember? And you looked over it, Austin. You were like, these are, I felt real. Here's the problem. All right. So it's in the second, it's in the second round of this thing. And as the first rounds, you had clever got rewarded. right? And what I'm learning is the deeper we get into this, because we're only allowed to roast the other people, the other comedians' cities. You can't roast the comedians. So all the jokes are starting to sound the same because there's only so many things to make fun of the city of Dallas for. So clever is not being rewarded anymore. Dark and shocking and anything to do with sexual organs, that stuff's hitting, right? So I'm like, oh, okay. I just got to dumb it down because that's what's working. And Brian and I have a new strategy for the third round, which should do pretty well, I think. We're going to shake things up.
What city do you have?
It's Houston, city of Houston.
Oh, that's not much of a shuffle.
Oh, yeah. Like you get that's me from rough. Dallas to Houston, just another city in Texas. What the fuck, man?
Oh, man.
It's rough. Yeah, it's becoming painful. They should have just ran that thing. Everybody gets one round. Keep it, you know, fresh and out. I mean, this thing goes on, yeah. I don't know, forever, evidently. Like, if you you win, you're going to end up doing every major city contests. In the country. Yeah. So, I don't know what's going to happen.
So, but how many people are, like, watching this?
I think that show had 300 or 400, I think.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's people, like, they, you know, they hit their email list pretty hard. They're like, right. Oh, and not everybody's paying, I assume. There's probably a lot of VIP comps and stuff, but we're not getting paid. I know that. So, yeah. So I think your sales webinars pretty similar to stand up comedy right now, Jess.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Finding.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not.
You're definitely at least a feature by this point.
Yeah.
That's great.
You put the time in.
Oh, you, man.
You're a funny person, Jess. Doing your these sales meetings and stuff that you have to lead, do you incorporate humor in there? You try to slide
I do zingers. I try. I usually travel to radio stations and I get to see everyone in person, and I'm way better in person because I can kind of go off of their vibe just like how you would on stage, right? Yeah. You know, if you're killing it, then it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're gonna play an audio clip or something, that if someone's offended, you can usually tell, so I can read that and then I know how to kind of backtrack. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Or if it's just working, then I'm like, ah, nothing I can say is wrong. I'm a genius. This is fantastic. But nothing with the webinar, just mute. All muted
mics. I'm a maniac on a screen. How are you?
When you were a 16-year-old girl, did you ever think that one day you would be not only using the word webinar, but giving webinars?
No. Well, it's kind of like acting. So it's pretty close. I have to act like I'm sales.
I have nothing but mad respect for you. I
don't sell anymore. I don't sell because that's freaking hard. Like, I hate it. I'm having a cold call people like, hello, can we talk? Oh, you hung up on me. Oh, cool. Or, hey, I'm sending this proposal. I'm like, did you get it? They're like, yeah. I'm like, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to buy it? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Should I call you tomorrow?
No, I just called to let you know I got it. Pretty
much. Okay. I'm going to go jump now. Goodbye. Yeah. No, I hated sales. I tried it because I thought it'd be really easy because I knew the products in and out. But turns out I'm sensitive and I take everything way too personal. Most people that are good at sales don't have a soul. Good for you. We need those people out there. But I overthink everything that I have to. Oh, my God. Before I send a freaking email, I proofread it 20 million times and then I'll end up erasing it and writing a new email.
That's me. Like, I'm way too honest. I always knew that I would never be good in sales because I'm too honest about the product or myself. Like, because I was never good at like picking up women or convincing them they should have sex with me because I was way too honest. Like, I'm not going to try to sell this tonight because she's just going to be disappointed. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sorry.
And especially like I'm not feeling it tonight. So, you know, you'll just wake up pissed, you know, like it's not going to work. But that might be changing now because
that's really sweet of you though, Todd.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of them.
Very nice thing. To be like,
I would
be real here.
And in my dating years, I just didn't have the advantage of things to help me out. Like if right now, I think I would go out there and be way more effective. I would have a lot more confidence because now, thanks to one of the sponsors of the show, Blue Chew, they make the difference. You guys remember the days? I'm talking about you guys, not you, Jess, not yet.
All right.
Do you guys remember the days when you were always ready to go? Like,
yeah,
like it was no problem. Like if you're, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
My, used to, you know, my lady would, at any given time would be like, hey, you ready? I'm like, yeah, yeah, I was born ready. Let's go. Let's do this. And now I'm like, nope, not really. Kind of really into the Sopranos right now.
I've been up since 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It's 8 p.m.
I'm really tired.
I've been fighting with the kids for the last 3 hours.
Why didn't you ask me before I exerted myself physically by moving that chair you needed to move? Now I'm exhausted. So
I've been, I moved 8 yards of mulch today. Yeah. Do you think I'm in the mood?
The Blue Chew could make the difference. Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue, B-L-U-E, and then the word chew. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, Jess, day or night, even on a full stomach. It's not a problem. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill.
Oh, nice.
So you can be ready when the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, why wouldn't you? Take advantage of it. Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Let me ask you this, Jess. If right now, if the Don could get his hands on some Blue Chew, would you be for it?
Oh, heck yeah. I'll turn on a couple episodes of Outlander and go a few times. Oh, I'd be like, Outlander. Well, you let that set in, I'm going to let some things set in. And
that's how you get warmed up. Put on Outlander. Love it. Blue Chew is prescribed.
Back now, get the Blue Chew Outlander combo pack.
And a fast.
The whole here's house a blue, set up.
Here's a Blue Chew set now.
The disclaimer is Outland is sold separately. Blue Chew is described online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at some creepy pharmacy. And it ships right to your door, too, in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. That's important, especially now. People are out of work, Jess. Let's cut costs any way we can. This is the way to do it and increase productivity in the bedroom. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit Blue Chew, BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's right. I said your first shipment is free when you use our special promo code, FUNTOWN. And all you have to do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E, the word chew.com, promo code FUNTOWN, and try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you.
They're good people over there. What a product.
How do they taste, Todd?
Hey,
chewable.
They're great. Just let me tell you. They're great. And I can never on these products, none of us can ever say that everything works every single time for every person. It worked for me. That's all I'm saying. Finally, a sponsor that fits. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jess. Well, you know, but if we hook the Don up, it benefits you. So.
Yeah.
I'm not hating. I'm not casting any kind of, you know, on Don. I'm sure he's great.
Who doesn't
sure
want a little? Fine. Who doesn't want a little help whenever you can get it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm trying to get a vibrator deal. So, hang on.
Oh yeah, we can move those.
Listen, guys, if you have a vagina in your life, vibe it away with the Vibomonic. I got nothing.
With the new Outlander branded vibrator.
She's got a little door tartan.
It's got a little kilt on and a smoldering stare. Yeah. It's perfect.
Comes with its own jerk. There you go. That's actually gonna be a good night. Never mind. He's not gonna complain though. Let's be real. He's downstairs listening, probably like, Nice.
This is awesome.
Yeah. I'm only hearing half the conversation, but sounds like it's going in my favor.
Todd, you should get one from Arnie and name it Houlihan.
I'm going to make her call her vibrator Houlihan for sure now.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Good advice.
So funny. side note, end of commercial, that commercial part, because I don't want to... This made me think of this. Yes, I don't want to contaminate the commercial at all.
Right.
But
for Blue Chew, that piece is over.
That is over. This is a separate. This is my own personal. Like, this has nothing to do with that. So
what a great disclaimer.
They are not involved with this at all. Do not hold them accountable.
That's how you know Jeff is a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is. I'm nervous now, to be
okay,
honest.
Okay, so back when I worked at this tavern downtown, I worked for this man. He was an older man, and he had a wife who was awesome. They were great. And he, on my honeymoon, when I was leaving, he goes, hey, here's a Viagra for your honeymoon so you can, like, you know, knock it out the park,
mm-hmm.
have a good time. He's like, but I'll warn you. Don't wear a cock ring when you take that. And I go, why? And he goes, well, not too long ago, I had a metal cock ring and I put it on and I took a half of Viagra because I don't need one. I'm 65. I don't need one, but I do just to give her a good time, like, kind of guy. Yeah. And he goes, 6 hours later, the blood couldn't reverse. And I'm down there and I have a pitcher of ice water and I'm just dipping my dick trying to shrink it up. So he ends up at like 6 a.m. going down to his neighbor's house, like 2 houses down. Like, he calls him up. He goes, hey, you need to bring the bolt cutters down. I'm in a predicament and I can't go to the hospital. Like, I'm too embarrassed. And so his neighbor brought down bolt cutters and cut the cock ring off of him.
Oh my God.
So that he could get some sleep and as he put it, take a major whiz. Because he hadn't been able to pee for 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's true. You don't think about that. It's hard to pee with an erection. Just so you know.
No cock ring, got it.
Yeah. I know the cock rings exist, but it's just never entered my universe for some reason.
It's like a dragon to me. It's just something that is a fantasy. They're not real, right. Are they?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. I don't know that I've ever even seen one.
I put up to 12 on my penis at once. Just to add some girth.
You're like those women in the National Geographic with the metal rings on their neck to get it longer.
Are they all uniform, or are they like different styles, like Cyndi Lauper? Are you the Cyndi Lauper of cock rings?
Like, I bring it up so it looks like an old kitchen timer with the with the sand falling through.
Oh my gosh! Oh, the days of our lives, cock ring. It's funny. Oh my gosh!
We got all the products tonight.
I hope we get a cock ring sponsor now. Just so you know, we're up for it. I would try one. I don't even know what they do, so I would have to read the instructions.
One of those sex toy websites, you know, run the gamut.
What did I buy from before? There's one out there that it's kind of like, well, I'll compare it to like Avon or a Party Line.
Those multi-level marketing sex toys.
Yes, where you have a little party at your house. Mm-hmm. Girls have the cocktails.
Pure passion.
Pure romance.
Pure romance.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
I've been to two of those before, and of course, there's always an obligation to buy something. And you're like,
yeah. I mean, if you show up, you got to buy something.
How do they do it? Are they like, ladies, you're gonna love this dildo? Like,
they have them sprawled out. There's like an example of every product. the special of the month is always featured, of course, you know, and if you buy so much, your host is going to get one of these giant jackrabbits or whatever. Here's this flesh thing that you can put on your guy to jack him off. If you're too lazy to do it, I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. But there was like this little like flesh light.
Nancy, yeah, we're looking at you.
It's like a Hulk hand. It's one of those Hulk hands to give a hand job.
Here you go, whatever. It's so funny. And then they really... Exactly. They'll demonstrate everything. And here's how it is. And then pass it around. And again, like Avon or a party light, you usually sample the products or smell it. You will test the vibration of one like, oh yeah, that really does get it. Great. That's fantastic. You test it on your hand, though. Put it in your palm. No one has to actually test it.
And this is not awkward.
It isn't, because usually the girls have a couple of glasses of wine before, you know.
Oh, this is a big white Zinfandel thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wine.
Are there a lot of jokes to get made, or do you feel like you have to take it seriously because this is the hostess's profession?
Oh, no. Especially if you know the girl that's having the party, or like, whatever, you're going to end up with like 3 free items because I'm going to buy that jackrabbit that you keep pushing. So now I'm going to pretend they keep putting it in your mouth when they're like, trying to be serious. And I'm like, the cock in your mouth.
Did that just chip the granite countertop? Yeah, I'll take 2.
Stronger than my Pampered chef stone. Wow.
Do you make little jokes? Like, you're going to need one much bigger than that, Jennifer. Come on. We used to play volleyball together. Mm-hmm. I know.
That's funny.
Are there finger sandwiches?
I don't know what food we had. That's a really good question. I don't know if there was food. I think it was just drink.
If you ever host one and you don't serve brats, then I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we didn't have
giant brats laid out. No buns.
What did we have?
Jess, what's the most serious piece of equipment you've seen at one of those?
Anything with a pull cord?
Like with a 41 mix?
Yeah, it's a 41 mix. It's
a girthy thing, girthy little vibrator with like the rabbit ears that'll vibrate, you know.
Do those help? Are they helpful?
Yeah, it's,
or are they just for show?
Tourist area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's for the exterior massage.
Indeed.
The
upper vulva area.
Gotcha. See, I wouldn't even know what to do. That's why
you guys have
that's why I'm so bad at selling it. I'm like,
yeah, but if you use it on your butthole, I'm willing to chip in money so Marnie can get the hula hand. Sorry, Austin.
They did have some double-ended vibrators. Oh gosh.
And if you if you host it at your house, from what I understand, and the party does well enough, you get X amount of free gifts.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you're super obligated to do it.
Oh, for sure. You get like the your hostess is going to get this cleanup gel or whatever to clean the sheets. And it's like, don't get it in the sheets. I don't know. Like, do you really need that? And it's like $25 a bottle. Like, that's the stuff you're buying, you know? What?
Really?
It's ridiculous. And then, you got to clean your vibrator and your toys.
Some gum cleaner. $25 gum cleaner. What is it? Hang on. Is it 7th generation? Because that shit runs a penny.
Do you put them in the dishwasher?
I think you can.
You really do.
Now, I'm never eating at your house ever again. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I've never done that.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you do that because
but I think you
that's
can,
where
though.
The dishes go also.
You can also put tennis shoes in the dishwasher if you didn't know that.
And ball caps. Now I'm definitely never eating there.
It doesn't have the Don semen on
that's
it.
That's worse.
No.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
The same man who gave me a Viagra and had to have his penis ring cut off. Same bar one night. I'm drinking with him and his wife. My wife. And somehow the topic of glass dildos came up, and he was talking that he spent $300 on this glass dildo for his wife, and it had a little handle with a crank that had bumps around it, and so you could turn it and it would stimulate her clitoris. And he's like, Jeff, I paid for it the first night. It's worth a penny a squirt. You and Alicia have to borrow this. You guys will love it. And I'm like, I'm not going to borrow your sex toy. Like, that's weird. And he's like, no, you just throw it in the dishwasher when you're done. And you give it back. And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, so you're telling me if somebody takes a shit in your Pyrex dish, you just throw it out?
Yeah.
Go, yeah. Every time. And that's why I said to him, that's the last time I'm fucking coming to dinner at your house. I'll tell you that. And I'm definitely not borrowing your glass fucking dildo, you weirdos.
And the fact that he just gave you perfect detailed instructions about how you manage it, clean it, and then bring it back means that he's loaned that out to tons of people.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's so gross. Like, they're not that expensive.
This was $300.
Well, this was like a Jack in the Box type thing.
I don't know.
Like a Calliope sex toy.
It was like a penis with like a base on it with like little dots. And so it would like, you'd crank it like you were, I don't know, trying to start an old Edsel engine. Like,
is this like an antique one? Yeah.
No, it was like, it was made of Pyrex. Like, it was blown for sex.
It's just, wait, this thing was made out of glass?
Yeah, it was a $300 Pyrex glass dildo.
Wow.
That they were insisting that we had to try, but we
oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. This is
insane.
Yeah. People should not offer other people their sex toys. Like, no. That's weird. Yeah.
Those you're like, be. No, it's glass. I'm afraid I'll drop it.
Right. It's one thing you want to send a link. Here's where you can buy it. That's courteous. But don't ever offer up your toy because no one wants to use it.
No.
You think you're being generous. It's quite disgusting.
Like, I will say, in his defense, that Monday he came into work and gave me a brochure from the toy company and was like, here, you can buy your own. Since you're so fucking uppity about borrowing other people's dildos.
And he just assumes you're sold on it. I mean, you're going to get one.
Well, and that's when I learned that they were $300. I was like, holy shit, you paid $300 for a dildo? And I haven't had a raise this year? Are you fucking shitting me?
All the company's money's going into glassware for your lady's vagina.
Jeez.
Oh my God. I mean, thanks to everybody's hard work, I was able to get the larger glass crank vagina. I believe you'll be seeing a much more relaxed and nicer boss around here, everybody. Thank you.
What the fuck?
This was your boss.
Yes, he was the owner of the company. He wasn't just like a manager.
You got to dummy up with anyone who works underneath you. You just shut up and you don't let them know anything about your life. You don't go sharing your fucking glass dildo stories.
He thought you were going to be so impressed too. You know, like he was like, wait until Jeff sees this dildo.
Oh.
It's almost like when your boss walks you out and shows you his much nicer car than what he knows you have. Yeah. Wait, honey, bring in the case. It's in a real nice case with velvet lining. He opens it up. It's like the scene from Pulp Fiction, lights popping out of it.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Oh, man.
This is the dildo leaders use, Jeff.
He didn't bring it to work, right? Like, he didn't, like, bring it to you and say, see, this is what I'm trying to describe to you. No. Or take a picture of it while it's in use. Like, see, this is what it looks like when, you know.
Here's half of it.
Yeah. was his name written on it in permanent marker?
Just like a Pyrex, right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But he did say that they would put it in the hot tub and let it warm up a little before it was like temperature controlled that way.
Well, how big is this thing? Jesus. gotta get a hot tub for warming it up.
You can't just use a bowl of water. Run it under the sink for a second. You gotta have a whole hot tub.
Oh my gosh.
We're thinking about going to a lap pool for it so we can get the tip. The tip's cold all the time.
Yeah, if we go up a larger size, we're gonna have to get a bigger pool.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's such an interesting world, that stuff, man. I don't, because guys, I've never once been approached or even heard of any of my friends being approached about coming to any kind of sexual device party. Not at all. We don't need to do that.
Guys, multi-level marketing is always like supplements. It's always some dude at like at a social gathering that you've never met wants to know what your workout routine is, and you're like, fuck, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a multi-level thing. You see, you guys do have them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. Yeah. And it's starting to become that way with CBD too. You know, one of your friends is like, dude, you ever use CBD? Just casually, and you're like, oh yeah, I've taken it sometimes. Sometimes I give it to my dog. Well, here, and then they break out their briefcase from their trunk. Hey, you know, and because there's a whole new, I don't know what it's called, almost like Amway kind of thing for CBD now. And everybody's
like, telling, it works. Look at these results.
Yeah. It does work.
I'm a fan of it, but
Works really well, though, just in weed.
Yeah.
I don't need my preferred form of CBD, I would say.
Yeah.
I use the CBD before you take the THC out. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah. I had these. Go ahead.
Oh, I heard that it's good. Like if like somebody takes an edible and they get like too high, that if you take some CBD, it like brings you back down and kind of levels you. Like,
really?
Yeah. Well, at least that's. I heard some fucking stoner say it in a fucking head shop and fucking, I don't know, some YouTube video I was watching. So I'm sure it's fucking true.
Like, gotta love stoner science.
Like, bud tenders can't just get a job that day. They have to go through an application process.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just give out medical information like they know. Right?
Yeah, I know. I know. Someone close
Do you have
to
a
us.
Ponytail?
Yeah.
No, but her name was Honey Bear. So
Honey Bear.
Perfect. Yeah. Someone very close to us started making. They make the most delicious weed cookies, and it's a problem because I am like a cookie monster. So I can't like stop eating cookies. I can't just take one little bite of a cookie, and these don't taste any different than delicious snickerdoodles. Like right. I can't taste that they're weed cookies. So
wait,
I,
you're getting snickerdoodles?
Oh yeah, they're good, dude.
Oh man, I want snickerdoodles.
I'll get you some seriously.
I got like fucking never mind.
But I eat so much of them, but next thing I know, because I'll eat the little bit and then I'm like, oh man, that cookie was fucking good. I sit there and think about it. I'm like, yeah, let's get another hunk. Next thing you know, I'm like two cookies in, and then I'm just like on awkwardly halfway off the couch trying to find a movie on Amazon. And I'm not even on Amazon. I'm just like on Vudu, or one of those apps you never use on your smart TV. And I'm like, why is it not working? Yeah.
Oh man.
Is this the Falcon and the Snowman?
Oh, yeah.
How did I find this?
Back when Sean Penn was great. Well, this has been fun, you guys. It was awesome to catch up after a week. And we'll do it again in another week. And Austin, I won't run my roast jokes by you anymore because you're too smart of a comedy writer. And if you say they're good, they're not going to work in this dumb roast.
Dude, there. Just sucks. when you told him that, I write a lot of stuff for other people for characters and different things and comedians. And there is nothing worse than when somebody's like, hey, what do you think of this? And you're like, yeah, that'll fucking work. Yeah. And then you watch them do it and it fucking eats a dick. And you're just like, or just you write the joke for them and they go up and you're like, this is going to kill. And it just doesn't, like, it just misses it on bombs. All fronts. And
yeah,
you, like, yeah, I've sent many a text, hey, I'm I'm really sorry about that sketch. Like, it was really funny as shit yesterday in my garage at 2 p.m. when I was 1.5 White Claws in. But now at 6 a.m. in the morning on national radio, it just didn't fly like I thought it was. And there's no worse feeling because you want the person to succeed because, like, you're now vested in it. Hey, look over my stuff, or let's work on these together, whatever. And then so now you're like, oh, I want this to kill because it's like I'm killing like through you. And then when you're like, oh, how'd that go? And they're like, not good. And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I always feel worse. I'd rather bomb with it than have someone else like bomb with something absolutely. I've okayed. Like I've given my pass on.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. And it's just, you know, sometimes certain things don't work in certain formats. I thought this is one of the better jokes I had written for in a while. And it was against the city of Dallas. And two things that I knew about Dallas was during my research was that they're way fatter than the national average. And we all know how pro-gun they are, right? So the joke was the people of Dallas are so pro-fat and pro-gun, they invented laser tag. So they took running out of the game of tag and added marksmanship. And I thought, that's a pretty good fucking joke.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then the person comes after me and basically does a yo mama joke and fucking – and I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I would say that was more of a true statement.
Yeah, that's the one Norman said. Yeah, that was a great setup. You need a punchline.
I hate that. I've done so many of those where I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to add the punchline there.
Yeah,
that was a really good observation. And Tom sometimes will even go, or especially even Chick. That's the worst is when the guy at work will just the person will read it and he'll go, yes, that's a true fact.
Yes,
like it's like, oh great, that's no, that was the punchline,
right?
It's like, no, it wasn't, you dumbass.
I know. And as soon as Norman said that, my brain was like, oh, why didn't you spend about another 15 minutes to put a punch behind that?
Like, dude, I just
fair, Todd, I was drunk out of my mind out in the woods when you sent those to me. So it's just...
And you're seeing them in written form, right? So you're giving the extra benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm not hearing. Yeah.
Let's talk to Todd.
I just did my first roast battle maybe 3-4 months ago, and I should have destroyed the shit. I mean, I love writing roast jokes. I've done so many roasts. I usually do really well, but I never like battled. And I wrote I had some gold, Austin. You would have loved it, baby.
You're really good at roast. I've seen you before.
But I ate a dick. Like, they didn't think it was funny. Like, the other dude killed, and I just had to stand up there and look like a douchebag and be like, yeah, I guess I'm not good at this.
Sometimes I think the problem is like, some people, when they're mean, it's not fun.
Right.
And so if you're not on the same level of fun as the other person being mean, then you just look like an asshole.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. It can definitely happen to you.
Like, I wish I would have had like I wrote 10 roast jokes and I had to do all 10. And I wish I would have written 30 roast jokes and picked 10 from those, but had 30 to choose from based on what they were coming at me with and what was working.
Right.
Like, oh, they're liking the smart shit tonight. I'm going to hit them with this. Oh, no, they're just your mama jokes. Well, now I can hit them with these, you know, dick jokes or whatever.
Right.
And I wish I would have done that instead of, no, these are my 10 jokes for the night and they're going to fucking all be great. And I was wrong. Like, yeah. I should have wrote a wider array and a lot more.
Yes. And short, like in roast, like, especially since it's online like this, like short, this is your setup punch. Like, too many people on there try to talk it out like a bit and you don't know, like, is a word going to cut out or something? So it's just like, just get it in quick. You know, you're on the internet. like my best one that got the best reaction was about Nashville when we battled them. And the joke was 95% of Nashville dads report that their teenage daughters are sexually active. The other 5% say they just lay there. And boom. But I'm like, that's so quick and pop, pop, and it's dark, you know? And I'm like, okay, why didn't you stick to that formula? That's what worked here. Yeah. So that joke crushed. And then, yeah, the other thinky ones, no.
Do you remember the mama joke that got you?
No, it wasn't. It was like, I remember when I heard it, I'm like, you just took a yo mama joke and applied it to a city. Respect. Like, respect. You just, you know, but it was a joke you've heard. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know. And then one guy was kind of funny about Chicago because I guess their molestation rate's really high or something. And he just kept tagging at the end of every joke. So he'd be like, you know, because they fuck kids. Like every time it got around. But you know, sometimes somebody will do that and they won't let go of it. And it just keeps getting funnier and funnier. It was really, really well done.
So when's your next one? Do you know?
Thursday night. Yeah, this Thursday.
So, how can people watch it? How can we do this?
I'll my social media, I'll put it out, and it's through Helium Presents. So on their social media, at Helium Presents, their social media accounts have it all on there. You can go there. I think you buy, there's different tiers of tickets or whatever. So like you can buy multiple show packages or just a single show, I think, all that stuff. So yeah. And it, you know, do it on a night on that. If you like roast, there, you know, there's a lot of good talented people in there. So
yeah, I want to check it out.
Yeah. Kind of good. All right. Well, I think it's going to be it for us. You guys got anything going on that people need to take a look at?
Nope.
Nope.
All right.
Still alive.
Continue to listen to the Bob and Tom Show. There's great things happening there each and every week, especially as they have to get more inventive with the quarantine. So lots of cool stuff happening. Jeff's always doing cool stuff on there. Jess is always doing cool stuff on there. Austin always is hilarious.
We have an author show coming up soon.
Yeah. I do want people, that's one thing, I want people from here to start to appreciate An Evening with the Authors and that whole culture behind it and what it's about. So go there. There's lots. If you go track through Austin's social media at Austin Real or at Real Comedy. Austin Real Comedy, depending on which one you're on. But you'll be able, if you look deep enough, you'll be able to find something on there about it. Maybe put a link in your bio to it, you know?
I should.
Yeah, do that.
I should.
Here's a little tip. All right. Well, that's going to be it for us. You guys are there awesome as always. Keep spreading the word. We greatly appreciate it. If you haven't done so and you like this show, please rate and review because that helps us very, very much. You guys are awesome. We're out.